Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 8th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, Canada has another BSE positive cow. We'll hear about that when we talk with Dan. There's a bit of a difference between what the Bush administration says the farm bill should be and how it has budgeted for it. And Colin Peterson says the ethanol import tariff will be dropped over his dead body. We'll have details of these stories and others very shortly. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour on Thursdays, we always talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 457, up a nickel. May contract at 472.5, up 7 cents. March corn at 399.75, up 7.5, and the May at $4.11.75, up 7.25. July futures 417.75, up 6.75. September futures at 405.5 in the corn pit, up 6.5. And December contract, your new crop at 396.5, up 5.5 for the day. March soybeans 743.75, up 2.75. May contract up 3 cents at 760.25. And July futures at 773.75, up 3.25. November's at 794.75 in the bean pit, the harvest month up 3.25. March bean meal futures at 215.30, up $1.60. The March bean oil at 30.43, and they were unchanged on the day. Over on the Mercantile Exchange, things in the red for the most part. March feeder cattle 98.87.5, they were off 47.5 cents. February live cattle at 93.35 were down 30. April's off 85 cents at 94.87.5. And the lean hog futures finished the February contract 10 cents higher at $65.17.5 a hundredweight. From the outside markets, crude oil at $59.75, $2.04 higher at this hour. CRB index at 303.47 is up 460. And the Dow is down 30 points at 12,636 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the livestock very quickly because we just said that we'd discuss this with you. It looks like the BSE finding in Canada, the mature bull, is a non-event. What is your assessment?
Well, nothing's a non-event. It just, I guess, depends upon how the market, perceives it, whether or not it's a big deal or not a big deal. But I do think, that's going to be a constant problem for us. It just, shows up all the time. So you just, kind of get worried about that kind of stuff, Todd.
And then tell me about this little rally that we had going across the grains floor this afternoon.
Well, the corn market was due for something. We've been drifting basically sideways to lower since a couple days after the report, or when we made our high there in March corn up around 420. So we've just been drifting and losing a little bit each time. Yesterday we slid on down into the lower 90s, which I think was a real danger. Now today's recovery rally here does at least tee up the picture here that we could maybe have some follow-through strength and maybe put an end to this sideways to lower decline that we had. The timing indicators are ripe here for the market now to kind of put together a week or two rally, and then we'll probably start looking ahead toward the March report. But I think it was real critical here for the corn market to kind of snap back. I don't think it's out of the woods technically yet, but I do think we put a good step forward. And if we could get some follow-through strength and maybe end up the week a little higher, then I think we'd be in pretty good shape technically.
Tomorrow morning, USDA is set to release an ending stocks estimates. Any expectations that this will move the market much?
No, but a lot of times a lack of news is kind of considered bearish too, Todd. I do think that there's some rallying or discussion that maybe USDA might drop feed usage a little bit or residual disappearance a little bit, and therefore maybe we might see a little bubble up in the ending stocks level, but I don't see anything significant anyway on the February report. Feb reports are usually kind of non-event ones after you go through the January report, and then everybody just basically puts their hands in their pockets and waits on the big March report. But there's always room for a surprise here or there, but I don't think anybody's really looking for anything earth-shattering anyway that would give the market a shock.
You suggested the corn was set up in terms of timing on the technical side for potentially a move up over the next couple of
yeah,
weeks.
Yeah, corn has to catch here and start moving higher, and then we're going to have to check out those high points that we had for resistance. And that would be about 420 here on the March contract or the lead futures contract. So, I mean, you talk 430. I mean, we almost lost 30 cents going back here to 91 or so what we did here yesterday. So we almost lost 30 cents on this decline. So the initial move up would be to return half of that or 15 cents. So you would kind of get you back into this 405, 406 area is going to be probably pretty good resistance. But if we could start closing above that, then I think then that begins to, you know, open up the gates then for a test of the high. And I think, you know, if we go on up and we fail, then it tells me that the fundamental picture may not be as strong as what everybody thinks it is.
How long will it take, you think, before we look at a failure or we make
it? I think we need to have something in place here probably by the 20th of February. I'll give it a couple weeks in here to try to go on up and make a new high, and if it doesn't, I think it would be a little worrisome anyway from the technical side of the equation.
From the tech side, and then on the fundamental side, I'm assuming you'll be watching the weather and how the planters roll across the Midwest?
Well, that's going to be the next big event. And, I mean, the corn market accomplished what it needed to do. That was to buy intentions. Now, we can argue whether or not those intentions are 8 million or 9 million or 12 million, whatever. Now we have to kind of sort out what's realistic and whether or not the spring weather pattern is going to allow that size of planting or what kind of increase. And that's still, you know, we're a couple months away from that, at least here in the Midwest. But now we're going to it is that time of year where you go down far down south and you're going to start hearing some corn planting take hold here one of these days. May not be too far in the distant future, and we'll see how that early corn goes in the ground and how many additional acres we get on that real early corn. But you kind of got to give this market a couple weeks in here to go on up, make new highs. If it doesn't, then I think it would be a little worrisome anyway.
Yeah, if it doesn't, I assume you'll have a kind of an itchy cash sales trigger finger, is that right?
Well, yeah, probably, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's one thing doing short-term analysis, and then there is another thing of trying to hold your hand for the long-term pull, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to balance those. We'll just have to go from there. But the thing that the corn market, it has got the acres bought. I do believe that. We haven't got them planted now. So I think the next move is if something comes along that we can't get them planted or we can only maybe get a 5 million acre increase planted, then I think it would be the function of the old crop corn market to go up and choke demand or stop expansion of demand. If planting goes real well and we do get a 10 million acre increase, well then, you know, any kind of rally then would have to be triggered by summer weather, and then that would probably be that rally would be probably led by new crop months to choke demand because supplies won't be there come September.
March beans about 6-7 cents off of 7.50. The noves are same amount, roughly speaking, off of $8. most farmers are thinking they're going to hold, I guess.
Well, what do you think? The market will keep everybody in a holding pattern until it softens up sometime, and then it softens us all up after it declines. It softens
you take a few
us up
blows
a little bit. But basically what the bean market is doing is reflecting or catching up kind of to the corn move. It's kind of been in a steady rise here over the past couple of weeks, whereas the corn market, you know, have been kind of in a steady to slightly lower type trend. I think, you know, if something would come along and pop these beans another 30 or 50 cents higher, I think all of a sudden then the bean market then becomes competitive anyway with corn, and then we could maybe get back into another acreage race again. But so far in South America, things look okay. Actually, you have some people wanting to raise production prospects, but I've seen some that want to lower production prospects. But so that'll be interesting how that plays out. But beans, I think, are, you know, trying to head toward this $8 area. Whether or not we make it or not, we'll have to see. But that move also may wait until we kind of see. We get a little better idea of what spring weather pattern is going to be.
Outside markets, farm policy in Washington, the potential Barack Obama announcement for his presidential bid, any of those kinds of things worrisome or on the front burner for you, or are they just fun to watch?
Well, they're all issues. I don't think they're necessarily going to have any immediate impact on corn and soybean prices and wheat prices. I think outside market activity, the thing that you have to watch probably there would be rising interest rates, strengthening dollar. I think that's in play. That would have a tendency to cool down a lot of this inflationary activity, and the commodity world is picking up some of their activity. You know, from expectations of rising inflation. So you have to always kind of watch that. I think the politics of it, we've got there's a lot of talking to do between now and actually coming up with a new farm policy, and I'll just kind of let the policymakers worry about that. But usually those kind of things don't impact commodity prices in the short run. They can have a major impact, though, in the long run.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Effingham County Farm Bureau for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. The meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Dale Dirkholtz of AgriVisor Services, Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, and University of Illinois Agricultural Economist Daryl Good. That's at the Effingham County Farm Bureau this evening at 7 o'clock. The meeting is free and no advance reservations are required. Bring your questions about agricultural markets, and we hope to see you there.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
At the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola at the station says tonight across the two-state region in northern Indiana, continued cloudy skies, some lake effect snows. In northern and east-central Illinois and central Indiana, mostly clear skies. In western Illinois and southern sections, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 5 below zero in northwestern Illinois to 15 in the far southern parts of that state. Tomorrow in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy. Scattered lake effect snow showers in northern and east-central Illinois and central Indiana, mostly sunny. In western Illinois and southern sections, partly to mostly cloudy. Highs tomorrow will range from 12 in northwestern Illinois to 32 in southern Illinois. In today's agricultural news, the World Trade Organization Director General Pascal Lamy says the political conditions are more favorable now than ever before for conclusion of the Doha round. And it's clear, he says, the political leaders around the globe want to get back to business, but that will require the continuing commitment of those leaders. Lamy, speaking to the WTO General Counsel yesterday, said he had a positive news for the Council, noting that negotiations have fully resumed. Back here in the United States, a different kind of debate is taking place. U.S. Ag Secretary Mike Johanns, of course, outlined the President's ag budget proposal for fiscal 2008. Earlier in the week, conservation leaders were gathering in California about that time at the National Association of Conservation District's annual meeting. NACD President Bill Wilson says there seems to be some disconnect between the 2007 Farm Bill proposal the president outlined last week and that budget proposal, which was released earlier this week.
We had originally hoped that the budget would reflect some of the same thinking that's in the Farm Bill proposal, but unfortunately, we're a little bit disappointed that that appears not to have happened.
Wilson says he wanted to see the funding in the administration's budget reflect the commitment to America's working landowners and the nation's natural resources seen in the Farm Bill proposal. But he realizes Congress will write that budget, and he says NACD is willing to go to work with Congress. But even though Wilson notes definite concerns with the FY 2008 budget proposal, he says last week's Farm Bill proposal was good news for conservation.
At least in the conservation side, by the president saying that they would like to add $7.8 billion new money in conservation, certainly we can support that in that idea. And also they talk about simplification and consolidation of programs for better delivery to the producers in this country, and it makes it easier for our employees at the field office level to, you know, be able to deliver a program.
The fiscal year 2008 budget and the 2007 Farm Bill proposals have been hot topics at the 61st National Association of Conservation Districts meeting in Los Angeles. That meeting wraps up today. Well, Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson was at a different meeting this week, this one in San Antonio, Texas, at the National Biodiesel Conference and Expo. It'll wrap up this week. He was on hand to discuss the nation's energy future, and according to Peterson, the future is not about imports or foreign ethanol at all. In fact, if he has anything to say about it, Peterson says that simply is not going to happen.
We need to make sure that we maintain the profitability in this market for ourselves so we can stand this industry up. I have no doubt that in 10, 15 years this will become a worldwide free-traded commodity, and, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I know who's behind this talk, and I do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. You know, it's one thing that was good is in the WTO agreement that we were allowed to grandfather in with this tariff, and you know, we can produce plenty of ethanol in this country. We do not need to import it. That would be I think the beginning of the end if that happened right today. So hopefully, as I tell you, it'll be over my dead body.
Peterson made his comments during an appearance on the nationally syndicated AgriTalk program earlier this week. That program, of course, hosted by Illinois native and former Jacksonville, Illinois farm broadcaster Mike Adams. According to a federal judge in Washington, USDA needs to more thoroughly review applications for planting experimental plots of genetically engineered crops. USDA is said to have received an estimated 1,000 applications last year. Most of those were reportedly approved quickly without formal environmental impact reviews. But according to U.S. District Judge Henry Kennedy Jr., that needs to change. Kennedy has ruled that USDA's Animal and Plant and Health Inspection Service, that's APHIS, must move more closely to examine the applications to determine if a detailed environmental assessment is needed. And finally today, biofuels, as we talked about a little bit earlier, biofuels can corrode pipes and storage tanks designed for petroleum products. We know that's the case, putting the cost of revamping old infrastructure on retailers. But a bill passed out of the House Science Committee would charge the Environmental Protection Agency, the U.S. EPA, with testing additives and other technologies. H.R. 547 would authorize $10 million for the EPA to research and develop chemical additives and other technologies designed to overcome storage and transportation problems. A solution would, of course, help get biofuels to consumers more quickly. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's cold enough that I bet there aren't very many farmers, if any, moving grain today.
No, there's not much going on at all. I think everybody's either working on books or working in the shop, it seems like.
Those sound like two good things, as long as you're inside and not outside. But we need to discuss the cash grain market. How is the basis holding up in your area, and what do you hear about the river?
Well, the basis has improved a little bit over the last week on corn, and somewhat because of the river. The river, they're talking this afternoon about some maybe slowdown or shutdown even for 2 to 3 weeks here with these forecasts that are out there for the kind of continued cold weather. You're seeing some ice formations now, and it's just squeezing the pipeline a little bit, and there's not as much corn going down, and they're trying to get the barges out of there before they can't get them out. And that helps you if you're, privy to a river market or if you're in a situation where you're at an alternative to the Gulf, like on a train market that goes down to the Gulf of Mexico where they have to get some corn in those means down there rather than down the river.
Yeah, we've talked about these train loaders from time to time that go to the Gulf of Mexico, or they head towards Texas, to Hereford most of the time for the big feedlots. Are they concerned very much at those areas that ethanol, the high prices of corn, will impact their ability to collect enough grain to make shipments?
Yeah, I think I talked to some people in Texas here not too long ago, and they are they're going to see more corn down in some of those areas because there's going to be a demand for it. The ethanol plants are pulling some of the corn away from there. I don't know that concerned is the right word. I think they're definitely making plans. I think they're looking at some alternative rail routes. Some maybe getting some rates on some railroads they haven't used before, and some. Trying to figure out where they are going to get the corn. I don't know that they're in a panic situation, though.
What's the most often thought you've had about the market in the last couple of days?
Well, I guess the big question here that we've been trying to deal with people is to try to get lined up here. I think the worst thing you can do is get forced into some sale. This March 1st period is always a high cash flow need. Make sure that you got yourself covered for that. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of time to make the decision, how much corn and beans you're willing to carry past that point.
Okay, and your cash bids for the day?
378 on the corn, 707 on beans.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing. He's at Lexington, Illinois at the Elevator. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the cash grain market on Thursday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education is stepping down after nearly 4 years in the post. James Kaplan was appointed to the board in 1999. As its chair, he led the board through a tough state financial situation. He advocated cost-cutting, yet promoted the affordability of college and championed greater access for students with disabilities. A release this afternoon didn't mention exactly when Kaplan would resign or how long it would take to appoint a replacement. A coalition of Illinois lawmakers and interest groups is trying to jumpstart the debate over school funding with a plan to overhaul state taxes. Their plan would raise income taxes and impose a new sales tax on services such as haircuts or lawn care. It would also cut property taxes and provide income tax breaks for the poor. Supporters estimate it would mean a net tax increase of $5 billion. That money would be used to increase school funding in Illinois and shore up state pension systems. Senator James Meek says he thinks state officials are finally ready to tackle a problem that's been ignored for years. He predicted lawmakers would be able to override a veto from Governor Blagojevich, who opposes a tax increase. Indiana State Senate leaders are pushing a compromise bill to encourage parents of sixth-grade girls to have them vaccinated against HPV, a sexually transmitted virus that can cause cervical cancer. Some parents object to an earlier version of the bill that would have required the vaccinations. And Urbana Hospital has appointed a new administrator in charge of strengthening the link between patient care and research. Suzanne Stratton will become Carle Foundation Hospital's first director of research. She says she'll try to build communication between Carle and the University of Illinois to speed the time at which research turns into medical breakthroughs for patients. Illinois lawmakers are moving ahead with a plan to stop real-life hunting by remote control over the Internet. The House voted 117-0 today to prevent the practice known as remote control or cyber hunting. Technology now allows people to view their real-life prey over a webcam and use a computer mouse to direct a rifle and fire a shot remotely to kill animals. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Thursday afternoons. We always talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast and, more importantly, about the cold, cold weather forecast here in the Midwest. It's been really cold for a long time, it seems like, Pete.
Right. Good afternoon, Todd. Yes, it has. We've had about 6 or 7 consecutive days of minimum temperatures getting below zero, which is unusual, probably in the coldest 20 of such periods if you go back about 100 years of record. It's still got a long way to go, though, to be a record. However, this week is not going to be for lack of trying, because high pressure continues to dominate the pattern, originating in northwest Canada and extending southeastward right across the upper and lower Midwest. And that region of high pressure is really not forecast to move much over the next several days, so that the cold temperatures are going to persist. The snow cover does aid in making the absolute lows, the minimum temperatures, a little colder than they would be if over bare ground. And we're not looking for much in the way of storm systems. There is one that's going to generate late this weekend over the southern plains and come eastward. It looks like a snowmaker, maybe for the Ohio Valley, which would, of course, include extreme southern portions of Illinois. But I think further north, it's just a dusting that we're going to get here.
On the agricultural front, roughly speaking, it means that the soft red winter wheat crop here has been covered with a blanket of snow, despite the cold temperatures. Probably not a problem there, and the bugs have taken a good cold dip, and maybe we won't have to worry so much about Asian rust.
Right, absolutely right. The plus side, of course, is you do kill the pests with temperatures this cold, and the snow cover does protect the crop. Where you have snow cover, the temperatures underneath the snow cover are quite a bit warmer than they are just on the surface. Up here in New England, heavy snow early in the winter we refer to as white manure because it protects the crop winter long. And when you get snow cover ahead of the cold, you're doing okay.
All right, and then turn your attention to South America for me. Tell me about the bean and the corn crop in Argentina.
Okay, in the Argentine, they did get some rain up north. They've a little bit on the wet side up north, which they really needed, and that's beneficial for the corn and the bean crop in the Argentine. It's been a little drier farther south and warmer, and so having had a few showers, which they badly needed last week down in southern Santa Fe all the way down to BA province, they did improve the prospects, and it was a warm week, and they had temperatures up around 100 degrees or more in Buenos Aires province, but I think they had enough moisture to weather that. We're looking for a relatively dry pattern in the south this coming week in the Argentine, wet weather further north, and we're still concerned about excessive wetness in parts of west-central Brazil, where that does promote the Asian rust. So we're looking at that, but all in all, I think it's okay weather conditions for both corn and beans in much of the South American agricultural area.
Pete, we look forward to talking to you in a week.
Mm-hmm. See you then.
Mm-hmm. Pete Levitt is agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon. Don't forget that you can tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report, and that if you've signed up for that newsletter at willag.org, that's willag.org. If you hit subscribe and signed up for that newsletter, we'll try to make sure that you get those numbers from tomorrow morning's USDA reports in your email inbox. Have a good afternoon. Stay warm. I'm Todd Gleason.